people have powerful feelings about the traffic in Los Angeles. It says something that local officials warned motorists about a temporary road work closure on the 405 last year by calling it Carmageddon. Angelenos took the hint, and this weekend they're expected to steer clear of the latest 405 closure, named, of course, Carmageddon 2. That's how it is in L.A., a snarl of overstuffed freeways and commuters who keep their cool, except when they don't. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas has this profile of a punk rocker whose music expresses the insanity of L.A. traffic while extolling the virtues of public transit.
Couple of things you need to know about Eddie Solis. He lives in L.A., loves the band Kiss, and does not own a car.
Being someone who's from L.A., born and raised, and, you know, having a few cars in my past, I saw the city much differently through a different perspective through the eyes of a bus rider.
Want to stall way the back?
Sure. Line 18, Wilshire, Western Station.
Just steps from the front door of his home, across the street from a tortilla factory in L.A.'s Boyle Heights neighborhood, Solis catches a bus that connects him with the city's subway and the commuter train he catches to his day job at an indie record label in Hollywood.
It just opened me up to, like, little neighborhoods, galleries, clubs, bars, just everything. Just seeing what's out there, little pockets of the city.
Solis's journeys aboard L.A. buses and subway cars informs a lot of the material on The New Los Angeles Part 1, Through the Eyes of a Bus Rider, the latest release by the singer-guitarist band It's Casual. In Solis's vision of a new Los Angeles, people abandon their cars, climb aboard public transit, and rediscover their communities. One song extols the virtues of the L.A. County Metropolitan Transit Agency's Easy Pass and the urban underbelly it introduces to the rider.
And that's a nod and homage to, you know, the people who know what you can even go cheaper and really beat the system and really steer away from spending money on gas and oil profits and all that. Is all it takes for me to witness racial tension, for me to witness illegal aliens. It's not to paint a negative picture, it's just my perspective of what is seen.
Off the bus and back on the street, we make our way past a jazz saxophonist playing for pocket change and down a long escalator to catch a train.
So, where are we now?
We're at the Red Line station, the Pershing Square station in downtown L.A.
And what's our destination?
We're going to go downstairs another tier, and about 5 minutes, we're going to get on the Red Line going northbound.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
The Metro Red Line snakes from North Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It's the train that inspired It's Casual's signature tune and spawned a viral internet video. It was partly filmed late at night on a moving train as it hurtles from station to station. Solis thrashes away on his guitar and barks the lyrics, which celebrate the Red Line and call out the congested freeways that coil around Los Angeles.
Este es un tren de Metro Red Line a North Hollywood.
The thread that comes out of the record that ties everyone together is just like, be alive, don't be a victim of having a car.
MTA spokesman said he couldn't comment on Eddie Solis's furious pro-Metro message, but the Red Line video was a hit at the offices of Move LA.
Eddie's done a good job. Thank you, Eddie.
It's the public transportation advocacy group headed by former Santa Monica Mayor Denny Zane. He liked the juxtaposition of Solis blissfully riding L.A. public transit in one scene with scenes of the band raging against those notorious freeway jams.
Eddie is all frantic when he talks about highways. And so mellow when he's like grooving on a skateboard and on the bus and on the Red Line, there's a metaphor for the transformation, you know, from the, oh my God, I just got to get out of the traffic to, hey, this is cool. I can mellow out.
Or you can blast the tune like Too Many People as you claw your way across Los Angeles by car, bus, or skateboard. Too Many People could also be a motto for It's Casual. Over the years, the band whittled itself down to a power duo of Solis and a rotating cast of drummers. So you may think the burly, bearded punk rocker just can't get along with freeways, with people, or his native L.A. Not true.
I love it. I love everything about it. I've traveled throughout the U.S. many times, and I could never look forward enough to coming back. The weather, the different cultures, the landscape. I was just like, you know what? Now I know why everyone moves to L.A.
Solis will bring the love and the volume during a Red Line mini tour next month. It's Casual will play a different venue within walking distance of several Red Line metro stops from Union Station to West Hollywood. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
The California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Our director this week is Nina Thorson. Seal Muller is our technical producer. We had additional engineering from Danny Bringer and Howard Gelman. Thanks to Hank Hadley at KCBX. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White, David Marks, and Don Clyde. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. Tyke Hendricks is our elections editor with production help from Tina Lauerberg. We had editing support from Paul Rogers. Victoria Malione is our associate senior producer. Ingrid Becker is our senior producer. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995, and the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org, and Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information at chevron.com.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. I-5, the I-10.
Eddie Solis, welcome to another episode of Public Transportation and Geography and all the cool things in Los Angeles. My in-studio guest tonight, Joe Mora from Pedrini Music in La Crescenta, and you're a small stone recording artist from House of Broken Promises.
Yes, how are you doing?
How are you?
Good,
you,
honor to be here.
You've had a pretty awesome, erratic schedule.
Things have been good. Yes, really
excited.
You just
landed at LAX today.
Yes, from Heathrow. London, just came in from London.
Tell us what you're doing out there with House of Broken Promises.
We were playing a Desert Fest. There was one in Berlin, Desert Fest Berlin, and then Desert Fest London. And total all stoner rock sludge doom fest. We went on tour with UNITA.
Nice.
And we are somewhat like, you know, Arthur Say, or C, as he always corrects me. And Mike and Sino are the drummer and guitar player of UNITA, but they're also the drummer and guitar player of House of Broken Promises.
Now, tell us the backstory how you ended up joining House of Broken Promises.
My old band, HDR, we used to tour at House of Broken Promises. And at one point we said, hey, we should do like a collaboration song. So we did like The Stroke by Billy Squire. And then they really liked doing it and stuff. So yeah, we just had a great time playing it together and everything. And then basically what happened, I think Eddie's Placentia, their other bass player and singer, was having some issues with passport. I'm not too sure what was going on, but he ended up moving to Colorado. And then same with HDR, just things weren't going completely as well as it could. So they asked if I wanted to sing and play bass, and I said, sure.
So it was it was basically, didn't happen overnight, but it was just kind of like,
yeah,
the situation was massaging itself to like what it is today.
Like, yes, probably like a year in the making.
Year in the making,
because both Arthur and I are also like techs for like bands and stuff like that, so, you know, make our money.
Yeah, yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, before we get into like La Crescenta and that area and Pedrini Music, you actually have a lot of experience on the road teching for well-established groups.
Yes.
And tell us about some of the groups you actually tech for.
The main dude I work for is Trey Songs, who's right way cool. But I'm mainly working for the band. So in charge of the bass, the guitar, the drums, and the keyboards.
What size venues are you guys doing
out there? We're doing like anywhere. Well, we'll be the opener in arena shows. Like we opened up for Usher.
Sure.
And then, but like I would say like we did LA Live here. The big one, like 7,000 sold out.
Oh, yeah, Nokia Theater.
Yeah, Nokia Theater.
That's kind of like the Gibson.
Yes, totally. So, and it depends where you are, but you use like 2 to 7,000, I would say.
Some big rooms.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of responsibility.
It's a lot, yeah. The coolest part is I would have to say, because it's R&B, so you go, like, we did Africa, you know, places you don't normally go.
Wait, so you actually teched in Africa?
Yeah, Angola.
Wow.
Yeah. It was cool to play Slayer Roost. I was playing Slayer Roost at Soundcheck in Angola. It's gnarly there because you think you're going to, it's like we had a full security team. People were running after us. Yeah. Full like police escort. It's crazy.
How long was the flight to Africa?
Well, this was crazy because we were on tour in Australia. So we flew from Perth to South Africa, I think Johannesburg, then from Johannesburg north to Angola. And it's just really weird, you know. It's like you're in it, when you get out of the airport in Angola, you're just like thinking locked up abroad.
Was it one show?
Yes, one show.
And
with Wyclef John, hi.
Right. So yeah. Was it a festival?
No, it was the prince or somebody who owns the country's party for his, I don't know if it was daughter or whatever, but just in the major like kind of coliseum there.
Wow.
It was crazy though, you know.
Wow.
Full security team this whole time. Don't leave the hotel. It's really, like, I think it's one of the richest countries, though, which was weird because I think only a couple of people have the money. It's like $60 for a Caesar salad in your room. And
wow.
It was really weird. And it's really, you're in this major, like, really, really pretty hotel. But then the other building across the way is, like, the De Beers Diamond thing. It's full, like, Blood Diamond. Like, we were in Blood Diamond land.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's kind of trippy. Then you look below you and it's just poverty, you know?
Yeah.
It's really, really weird. But then they're, like, Porsche dealerships. And just in the ghetto.
Wow.
So weird.
So, I mean, it just seems, I mean, I'm sure the experience was amazing, you know, the travel, the culture, but it's definitely, through anyone with common sense, it looks like it's an unbalanced civilization, right?
Yeah, it's really weird. It's really weird. I mean, I'm very, very lucky and thankful we get to go there.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it's amazing, though, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, so what did you play at Soundcheck? Slayer?
Yeah, like Rain and Blood or so. It just seems like they had like their flag has like, instead of like, it's like, it looks like a Russian flag because there was some revolution or so, but it's like instead of a hammer and sickle, it's like a bayonet and sickle.
Wow.
Like on the flag. Yeah.
That's rude. Pretty violent.
Yeah, totally.
Of course.
Yeah. Play some Slayer.
Well, was there any like crazy wild animals running loose that you couldn't even, you know?
No.
You're right. You know, walk to your van?
Yeah. But it was definitely watch your stuff at all times, you know.
How's the African food?
Pretty good. Really, really good. I mean, the sad thing about it is, though, you're in the hotel and it's calling, everyone's speaking Portuguese and you're eating Portuguese food. It's still like, it was, you know, colonization.
Well, you're a chef yourself.
I cook really good. I throw down.
So to get your perspective and your feedback on that, that must be really... I'm sure you have a big opinion on it.
Yes. Well, it was crazy technically because you're not allowed to leave the hotel. So in turn, you're like a prisoner for the time that you're staying there. Because you walk out of the hotel...
How come they're not allowed, though?
They're like, don't go outside. It's too scary. And if you try to walk outside by yourself... five dudes jump up to walk around you. So I think you're going to be even more like, look at me. I have five guys around me. It's like, it'd be easier just to walk by yourself kind of and try to blend in.
Now, is it because it's just like a violent society?
Yeah. So you're stuck. You have to eat there. And luckily it was comp because each meal was at the buffet and it was like $100. It was just crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's that radical outside where like, what, who is it? Is it like gangsters?
Yeah.
Or?
Well, I don't know exactly. You know, it just depends where you are. Like when we were in Ghana, I talked to a lot of the Ghanaian people, and they were blaming it like on the Nigerians. And, you know, so it's weird. It's a whole different kind of vibe. You forget, you think it's going to be one type of people, but then every country has such a mass mix of immigrants within it anyways, they're struggling with themselves about it, you know.
Right,
so it's a trip.
So how much time did you spend there?
Africa, we did 3 days one time and 3 days the other. So, yeah, it was weird.
Would you say that was the most significant tech experience you've had so far?
It was pretty amazing because it's like, you know, you're thinking about your security and sometimes you're like, guy, they have AK-47s. It's like, do we even matter if things start getting nuts at that point? Yeah. So it's, you know, it's fun. You know, it's nothing too scary. We've been pretty taken care of.
You probably have your fingers crossed.
Yeah. But you're getting your shots. Like you're walking in when you're getting like three or four shots before you go there. And you know, the one that got me the first time we were in Ghana, it's like right above the water. It's like, this water's potable. Like, if, you know, like you forget, like they didn't have clean water in some areas. Like things you just totally forget about. I totally got fussy one time because we rented all the equipment. I noticed like, there's no, that's the wrong snare drum. I'm like, easy, dude. They don't even have clean water.
Like, there's a bigger picture to all this.
And there's missing screws.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, calm yourself down. Be happy about life.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Know. Things aren't so bad.
Not at all. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Going back to the tech lifestyle, aside from being in a band, I mean, that keeps you on the road a lot.
It pays good. It pays really good. And you know, you get to a certain point where it's like, you know, I'm getting...
Once you're in the circle and you're being called on.
Yeah. And it's fun. You know, it's like you don't take it too seriously, but at the same time, it's there. You're there to put on a great show and entertain people.
Exactly. You know? Have you learned... you know, as far as not really getting stressed out about the small things that maybe aren't going to really matter. No, you know what I mean?
I used to freak out because, you know, the level we're at, it'd probably be easier if I had another guy doing it with me, but I'm the only, hey now. But
that's just the way it is.
Yeah. It's just, you know, for budgets and stuff like that. So it's kind of like, I've gotten to the point where I'm, you know, I'm glad I can get everything set up. But like, if I was just a guitar tech. You can like let me tech on the guitars more, do this or do that, but it's a bit much just getting everything totally set up working properly. But I've gotten to a groove, you know. It's crazier when you do the arena shows because at that point you have someone just like they're instantly ready to tear down the stage. If like you're the only guy there, you have to watch how it gets packed up, and you know you're dealing with stagehands, and then depending where you work, the stagehands are different. You know, there's a different vibe for each one.
Oh yeah, it's like being in the band. Yes. I mean, we're truly because there's a different vibe in every city.
Yeah, yeah.
Different crew.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. And you got to give those stagehands respect. They're all, you know, they've been there for years in the theaters and stuff like that. So there's a certain way you want to work with them and respect that it's their house you're in. Right. You're just there for the night. Hey, can you help me with my stuff?
Is that the code of conduct?
It's their house. You know, how many nights they're there? You know, they live there, the locals, whatnot.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, but it's interesting. You know, it's like. There's definitely like, it's amazing, like working at Madison Square Garden, just how efficient they are there.
Wow.
It's like crazy. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. When you have teching through a perspective as a professional musician as well, what do you learn? Like when you're out there teching and you come back to do your thing musically, what do you get out of it and apply to your scene?
For my own music, I always like to just, you know, if I'm from the teching experience, I would say the best thing I could say is like, you know, when you're a performer, you forget how much work goes into the actual show and how much people bust their ass so you can get up there and rock for 45 minutes to an hour and a half. And so these little requests that you think are like not that big of a deal, sometimes it's like, I don't really need that. You know, it's like, because I know what it's like to set all that stuff up.
Sure.
So to be like, oh, can we do this or that? And that's like, okay, yeah, cool, cool, cool. But like the little things that they keep piling up, you want to change this, want to change that, where it's like, if you're a little quicker and as a performer now, it's like, if I ever got the chance to have my own tech, it would definitely be like, okay, well, I know what it's like to be in his position. So these, you know, odd requests are like, oh, I just want to try this new pedal. I just got it today.
Yeah.
It's like, take it, you know, well, wait, everything's working fine now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So your sound's sick.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe just be a little considerate.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I would say your tech.
Totally, totally. You know, or whatever it is, it's like, I always, you know, like I loved Band of Horses, Creighton Barrett, the drummer for that. He'd always help. He'd always into setting up his own kit and, oh, no, I got him into this. I feel weird. You know, guys like that are, you know, it's definitely, you know, being a part, working with your guy. Like, oh, let's create some cool stuff. And, you know, and like, you know, not like totally geek out or nerd out together.
In certain situations, do you take on the whole backline? Like the
with Trey, I do. Yeah, I'm in charge of the whole backline.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So it's, yeah. But they're the most beautiful. They're so easy to work for. They're so pro. You know, they're used to like these guys, they're New York cats, get on the train with your guitar, your little amp. They're very self-efficient. You know, they're not, this is the band where, you know, even Trey, he's nowhere near prima donna. Great guy, just really nails it on stage every time vocally. But my main concern is the band, and they're just, you know, it's almost like you have, like, you know, you have Trey, band, crew. So the band's kind of crew vibey too, you know.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, this last tribute with House of Broken Promises.
Yes.
Okay. Is there a new record out?
No, this was the first time they actually played Europe. So we decided like, hey, since I'm a new singer kind of thing, but let's not, we played two new songs that aren't recorded yet.
Sure.
But the rest of the material was just the last record using the Useless. And we wanted to just give them that the first time. So it's like, you know, they never even toured for that record there. So it's like, well, let's just play a majority of those songs. But it was great. They knew the lyrics and everything from the two videos. And it was really good response.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now, was that, as far as the other bands you played with, who were some of the bands you shared a stage with?
This was awesome. A reformation of Lowrider. I don't know if you ever heard of them, which is crazy because every time I, you know, us being from East LA, it's like, Lowrider's this desert rock band from Sweden, right? You know? And it's funny, too, you look at them and no, don't judge books by its cover, but it's like, they're totally like clean cut, like scientist looking guys, just killing the raddest stoner rock you ever heard. And then you had Dozer reformed.
Okay.
This new cool band that we like called Turbo Wolf.
Right.
They played Yawning Man, Fatso Jetson, Pentagram.
They all played out there.
Yeah.
Right?
Huh? Koff was another band. They hooked us up with some Transformers. Give a shout out to them. I'm trying to keep thinking. There's Witch Mountain.
Okay.
Woo Fat. It just, yeah, the list goes, it's a total, you know. It was interesting, the different ones, because the Berlin one had like, you know, it was German, it's just German, we have Ots film going on while this is still on the rock. And they had like the merch, you would have loved it, like the physical product they had. Like, I'd never seen so many stoner rock CDs of bands I'd never heard of. It was awesome. It was like just row after row.
Who are these bands,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Dark Mountains of Iron, Stone Steel, yeah. Witch Wizards.
You Black know? Desk yeah. Wood.
Yeah, it was just on.
Black,
you know?
Desk Wood, upside down cross, yeah. All the time.
Yes, totally.
That's the name of my new band.
All the time.
You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, it's just everything's out there, right?
My new band's called Street Drugs. We'll talk
I'm
about
jealous
that later.
Of that name. I already see the merch in my head.
Right, it's a good one. Period at the end.
Yeah. Don't get me started, Joe.
I know.
Yeah.
That we can play like my new band name for the whole. My new band name's this.
Yeah, I get stoked.
Velcro belt.
Each other, images of, yeah, this would be great merch. This would get people so partied out, you know. But anyways, you have a rich history growing up in a music store.
Yes.
Now, when I say a music store, a music instrument store.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. It started in 1938 in Alhambra, California, San Gabriel Valley.
And it's called Pedrini's.
Yeah, Pedrini Music, with my grandfather, Bruno, his brother, Tom, and then his other brother, Max. And basically in 1946, my grandfather, thank you, pulled away and started the one in Glendale, California. And then it turned out a bunch of people started other ones, all separately owned stores. All still same family, and but we now my mom and dad run it, and they've been, you know, pretty much since 1946. So it's like, I think, what, 65 years or 60 years, something like that, in business.
That's very commendable and admirable.
I think we had a 66th anniversary. I'm not too sure of the date, but it was great. We had some bands we're going to play you tonight played, AKA and the Kalashnikovs with Princess Frank. A lot of people know him. Dan Graziani from the Attics. We had also Snorlax was there. Well played tonight.
Very
GFP
cool.
With Tony Alva and yep. Greg Edson, Amory, and Crazy Tom. And this other band, which I'll play you 100 Onces. And also Ass, which is, I think, Authentic Sounds of Silver Lake played.
Okay.
So it was a really cool event. Food trucks. Rounds was there. Food trucks.
Very nice.
Yeah, it was great. And then what we're trying to do now is have some more shows there. It's just like in-store stuff. Instead of doing an in-store, like as in a record store, doing in-store and like an actual music store. You have a small stage and stuff. So
right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about all the dots that you got to connect to run an independent business, especially with a music instrument.
Yes, the inventory. Alone.
Brick and mortar.
Yeah.
Facino, mom and pop, and all the competition out there with like Guitar Center, Musician's Friend, and now Best Buy is a competitor. And we're going to talk about everything you have to offer and how much work goes into the customer service and serving the community. So we'll do that when we get back.
All right, good times.
Right.
This is Ignacio Salcido from Lama School The Bakery in Boyle Heights. You're listening to LA Nista and SkidRowStudios.com. Yeah.
This episode of Los Angeles Nista is brought to you by La Mascota Bakery, a family-owned business serving the community since 1952. Tamales and sweetbread, made the old-fashioned way daily.
Yeah. safe for yourself.
Welcome back to Los Angeles Nista. I'm your host, Edward Solis. My in-studio guest, Joe Mora.
Doing stuff.
Petrini Music, La Crescenta.
La Crescenta, the lock.
Bassist and frontman for House of Broken Promises. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you know, so let's talk about present day, Petrini's. You're affiliated with the La Crescenta location.
Yes.
And let's talk some history on La Crescenta. I mean, is that considered San Gabriel Valley?
No.
Right around there.
Yeah, Glendale. Yeah, okay. It's part of Glendale, it's the city of Glendale. And it's interesting, too, because if you look on a map, La Crescenta is actually divided in two places, where technically La Crescenta is from Ocean View to La Crescenta Avenue. And then from La Crescenta Avenue to Lowell Avenue is sometimes known as Highway Highlands, or it has its different names, but we still write La Crescenta on the address. Cool. But as soon as you get to Lowell, then it goes into L.A. County.
Gotcha.
So it totally kind of changes there. And then if you were to head east, it goes to La Cunada, which I think it's its own incorporated city.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah. I know they have a different school district. It's not part of the Glendale School District. Right. Unified.
Now, did you grow up in La Crescenta?
Sixth grade through high school, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then earlier, I was in Monterey Park. So I went to Inez, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And San Gabriel Valley, yeah.
So what would you say as far as La Crescenta, I mean, in a prior conversation, we're calling it the balcony of Los Angeles.
Yes, that's like on the sign there. It's like the balcony of Southern California.
And that's because of the geography, correct?
Yes, it's the valleys. I think it's the last valley before, last like the mountain in La Crescenta. It's the biggest one before it goes up over into Mojave, Palmdale, all that stuff.
Now, a music
up
store.
Up in the Angeles Crest Forest.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Now, an independent music instrument store that carries amps and accessories like strings and guitars and basses. You guys also serve the high school community.
Yep, the local community, the band instruments. Yeah,
instruments, a woodwind and brass, but we'll get into that. But let's talk about the history. What music has come out of La Crescenta?
It's interesting. Far as I know, and I know people quote me if I'm wrong, I'm going to say the biggest selling act has been Eve Six. And then we have members of Jerry Dixon from Warrant. And then, if you remember, Decline of the Western Civilization, the Metal Years, Randy O from the band Odin.
Sure.
I think one of the members from NOFX went to high school there. A lot of other people as well. It's like, I know Van Halen actually played the high school. The Doors played that high school.
Really?
Yeah, back in the day. Uh-huh. So, yeah, then there's a lot of people that work in the music and film industry, and their kids kind of grow up there. So.
Right.
You know.
Now, working, you've had many roles at Petrini's. I'm sure you wear a lot of hats.
Yeah.
you know, the day-to-day that goes behind keeping a mom and pop music instrument store consistent and competitive to compete against, you know, the Best Buys who are now carrying instruments and the guitar centers, of course, the Mighty Guitar Center. How much work goes into just building a space for new product? I mean, how much,
you know, what the
big research goes behind all this?
It's really been difficult too, because we did a whole facelift on the store and everything, and to try to change it, because you're trying to get now a higher end client in there, you know, knowing we can, you know, we do have stuff for the professional.
Right.
You know, not as much.
Because before it was more like an accessory spot.
Accessory stuff, yeah, and sheet music. Like, they're probably the best, I would say, you know, best sheet music selection in Southern California, I've always thought. You know, really, really cool stuff. You know, you could go on and on. I have this one book. It's like drum and bass, drum beats, like crazy rad stuff. You know,
sure.
All the, you know, your Def Leppard books. Come on.
Pyromania.
Know. All day long.
I want to learn.
High and dry.
Pete Willis.
Just me and my wine.
Pete Willis.
Yeah, totally.
Do you obey Pete Willis?
I love Pete Willis.
Yeah. I do whatever Pete Willis says.
Yes, totally, totally. Bring it on, the best of me.
On through the night.
Yeah.
On through the night.
Yeah, you're doing it. I like kind of, I'm Pyromania kid, third grade. Rock till you drop.
On through the night and High and Dry and Pyromania. Yeah, that's Def Leppard. In fact,
Def Leppard, not to interrupt, but I'm really saying before Rage Against the Machine and the whole rap metal scene, they were the pioneers of rap metal, Def Leppard.
You know, it's funny you say
Rise up, gather round, rock this place to the ground. I don't know.
You know, well, just think about it. You know, if he shaved his head and stripped down the gear.
Yeah.
No one wore British handkerchiefs. It would be pretty Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. Well, Ghost played Lollapalooza this year, so who knows now?
Who knows what it is, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's all over. It's crazy. I mean, they played Coachella, I'm sorry.
Right.
Which is the new Lollapalooza.
You can, of course.
Yeah, totally.
So
we'll go so far away from the thing, but we'll bring it back.
Let's bring it back.
Yeah,
We're professionals. That's what we're made to do. So let's bring it back around. So tablatures.
Yeah, a bunch of sheet music, everything. But the cool thing about Pedrini's, they had like the cool, like weird stuff like jaw harps, a lot of nose slides, you know, slide whistles, you know, really kind of weird stuff that just, you know, it's hard to find. The whole thing when my grandpa started, he was like, it has to be a real music store with everything. Like, even like, do we really need to have a sousaphone? Yeah. You know, which is a gigantic kind of tuba thing. But other than that, in the 50s, because of the whole appliance boom, they sold washing machines and refrigerators TVs and stuff like that. So growing up in the
80s. A lot of hardware.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, we had like a Betamax and stuff like that. And yeah, a lot of hardware. And then they stopped selling it in the 90s. No more. Just went back to a normal music store.
Did you guys ever sell Laserdisc?
Maybe once, but I don't think so, though. All I remember from that is I think we never got that far. It was like Betamax and VHS.
Ah.
Yeah, totally.
So when you, from the transition from the old Pedrini's to what you're calling the new Pedrini's.
Yes.
You guys have, you know, brought in a lot of gear now.
Mm-hmm, a lot of stuff on consignment from some cool artists, too. Tony Campos, his SWR cabinets are there. Gonzo. Sandoval from Armored Saint has some cool stuff up there, you know. But yeah, it's been some of the guys from all the dudes I tour with. So, you know, they come in. We always come across gear and stuff like that. So it's like anything you got. And a lot of my touring mates, like, you know, just brought in, you know, pedals. Here, take this, that. Band of Horses dedicated a lot of cool stuff, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, definitely. And then also Trey Song's production manager, my boss, Brian Tate, he was like, you know, instead of... Because a lot of people go to Tour Supply, which we always do, too. That's where you buy all your gear and stuff for tour, you know, if you're not sponsored, which most, you know. But anyways, instead of doing that, we're trying to get bands to buy their stuff from us now. Trying to get to that game, too, like, because I have all my friends at Tech as well. So the thing that's been helping us, though, with the store mainly is, like, the internet. I finally got my parents on the internet and selling stuff online, and that's kind of been really, really helping them. Because a lot of people don't even know we're there. We carry that type of stuff because we only carried some type of, you know, not the entire line of like stuff, you know, like the cool pedals and all that stuff now.
Right. So do you think that, you know, social networking and the internet has been pretty instrumental in making you guys pretty insights to everybody as far as we're here?
Coolest thing I would say recently, I would say definitely yes. The coolest thing happened was we had a band from Israel come in the other day.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Just random because they had something my parents had that they just couldn't find anywhere else. And they're here like in LA performing for a week and, you know. So it was really cool. The people from Israel tripping out my parents. Because my parents show up. It's a true mond. It's like my mom and dad are there or my mom and my aunt.
Are there every day?
Yeah, pretty much. It's either my mom or my aunt or my mom and my dad.
Do you guys do guitar setups?
Yes, basic, you know, intonations, stuff like that. Nothing too advanced, you know. I have a couple of people that we send stuff to if it's like too much that we can recommend.
Right, but if someone goes in there and needs some refrets?
No refret. You know, like how restring, tune, polish, clean up a little bit.
Real basic.
Really kind of basic stuff, though, yeah.
And lessons. You guys offer lessons,
yes,
right?
Yes, lessons. A lot of cool people that teach there. John Montgomery, you know, he plays a lot of the Fishbone guys, Weapon of Choice. Larry Arrieta, who used to play in Fear and was in Slack Babbitt. He teaches there.
Oh, Larry.
Yeah, Larry teaches there. Uh-huh, yeah. So there's a lot, and there's a lot of other great teachers. Vince Lombardi teaches there. I don't have the actual list. I feel bad, but yeah, a lot of great. There's voice teachers, piano. Bob Riggs is another guy teaches there, horns and stuff like that. Right. So full lessons downstairs.
Have you guys seen any of your students really stick with it and go and flourish?
I'm going to say, and not to sound like, oh, because he was my student, but some of the stuff I have to play for you tonight is one of my students. I started teaching him when he was in seventh grade. But this kid kind of already had it. I just kind of gave him like here's the theoretical side. Showed him like things he can, like, you're rad. Let me show you how to advance your talent. You know? And he's doing really good. His name is Snorlax. He goes by the alias Cody Farwell. He's also a substitute bass player in the Addicts from time to time, too.
Cool.
So it was great to see one of my students, like, actually, you know, he's playing the Addicts. He played NAMM show. He's sponsored by the whole, like, thing for Ableton. And he's, yeah, it's great. So he does a bunch of different things. Amazing bass player.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Now he's your personal student.
He was my personal student, yes. Uh-huh.
And how long did you teach him for?
Oh, on and off, I'm going to say maybe 2 years.
Right.
Yeah, you know. But I mean, it's crazy. I've known him since he was in seventh grade. And anytime I have a gig where I just like, let's do a jam, I need a bass player, he's my go-to.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah,
very
he's
cool.
Amazing. Yeah.
How about you personally? Did you have any lessons?
Yes. I took a Pedrini's growing up too. Just total stoner, dude. Used to teach there. It was hysterical.
Let's hear some stories.
Yeah, man. Yeah. No, I started one time. I tried in third grade. I started playing and I didn't like the teacher and I didn't, you know, it's that... What I learned when I started in third grade helped me teach other kids, actually, because when I was in third grade, it's like, I mean, Eddie, you'll relate. In kindergarten, I got kissed alive, too.
Exactly.
And this guy wants to teach me how to play Mary Had a Little Lamb. I mean, I'm in third grade, but I'm 3 years in rocking already, so yeah. I just wasn't into it. And then I did saxophone from fourth to sixth grade, and then... Believe it or not, I remember I was like an Yngwie Malmsteen ad. I knew who he was, but I didn't know his music, but there was just a thing. It was like, you know, he plays these kind of strings or something like that.
Right.
You know, but if you love music, play it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to play. I'm in seventh grade. I want to rock. So yeah, then I started taking lessons then. And now, it's really hard to play guitar.
did you ever set your goals?
Wasn't a natural at all.
Yeah. did you ever set your goals in the direction of Yngwie?
No.
It was always about the song.
I started playing guitar. The main reason is I like riffs more than soloing. So I've always been like a rhythm guitar player, I feel. I mean, I could solo, but my main thing, I enjoy playing like Sunshine of Your Love, Whole Lot of Love, you know, you name it, Iron Man, you know, all those great, you know, things as a kid when you're growing up.
Sure.
You know, just more riff-based, She, Parasite, you know.
Right.
That makes me more fun. That's always been more fun than to play like a solo or something. I learned how to solo because I was like, solo. You're like, I better be good at this. But, you know.
Tell us what you're doing at Pedrini's to like, you know, I mean, it's always about celebrating the mom and pops, you know. And
yeah.
Tell us what you're doing to get the attention from people and kind of like say, hey, you know, there's Guitar Center and Best Buy, but we're here also.
What we're doing basically, other than we just had a big old gigantic, I think, 66th anniversary. Don't quote me on that. I feel kind of bad right now. I just got off the plane. But we had GFP play with Tony Alva.
Tony Alva's band. Great Headson, Blazing Guitar.
Crazy Tom, Amory.
Yeah.
And 100 Once is another great band I'm going to play you. Princess Frank, a.k.a. and the Kalashnikovs, played. Authentic Sounds of Silver Lake. That was good. Food Trucks, the whole nine. You know, great show. Other than that, our pricing and stuff like that, you know, since it's a mom and pop store, we're still trying to compete with Guitar Center. But I mean, we have this kind of thing. It's like, it's pretty much $10 more than Guitar Center. You know,
right.
If you live in Blockers Center, you can drive all the way to Pasadena, spend the $10. But you know, we just can't compete with them because they order in volume. Where,
like,
you know,
a Best Buy.
Yeah.
Or
like
a Walmart.
Best Buy. And the good thing is actually awesome about the Best Buy issue is that my parents' store is still hanging in there and Best Buy is shutting down their music department because they're losing money. So that's getting shut down too. So, like, I mean, there was a lot. There was even Sam Ash came out here, tried to do good and didn't do good. And do you remember Mars Music when that came out?
I remember Mars.
Yeah.
Wow.
So all these big stores just going down, you know, but they're still hanging in there. So what we did to revamp the stores, you know, as well, like I said, a lot of new equipment, and we're trying to just have a lot more live shows there.
So you guys are actually turning into a live music venue.
Yes, yes, definitely. So yeah. We had Louis Ortega play there from the Texas Tornadoes. That was awesome. Yeah, yeah.
How long ago was this?
It was our Christmas show.
Very nice.
Yeah, yeah. Who's actually they were like, I think signed by, used to be Louis and the Lovers back in the day, I think, from Mendocino. They got signed by Arthur Love.
Sure.
From the group Love, am I right on that or something like that? I forgot. But anyways, yeah, so he plays with the Texas Tornadoes, Flaco Jimenez and everybody.
Very cool.
So it was cool to have him there, like real Tex-Mex kind of stuff. And yeah.
The real deal.
Yeah, 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 definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
We had a band called the Masonry play from the area as well. I try to get local kids bands. Always local kids bands.
Yeah, keep it like regional, right? I mean.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And but give the locals a platform.
Totally, totally. Sometimes we've tried to do open mic thing, but I'm kind of like, you know, no offense, but sometimes the open mic thing, people get up and they suck. And I,
you know what?
And I, you know, and it's like, I want it to be like really quality entertainment there. And it's like, you know, my parents are the sweethearts, but they're like, these guys want to play here. I'm like, do they have, if they don't have, can't give you a CD and tell you, here we are on Facebook or this, there's like some requirements to play there, you know?
Sure.
And we're trying to just to keep the level of talent up and really cool.
Well, you want to keep the bar.
Yeah, you know, I just feel now in today's age, if you really want to take your career seriously and do something, you should have a couple things established already. You don't have to be on Facebook, I'd say, but at the same time, like, this is my music on a CD. What do you think?
Right.
You know.
And it didn't have to be the best songs, but recorded well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean.
Now, at the same time, we had some guy come in and he's like, oh, I want to play you some songs. And I was like, what's up with this dude? Looks like Santa Claus. What's going on?
Oh, so he just rolled in looking like Santa
and
Claus?
He had
I want to play
banjo,
you songs.
A ukulele, and a dobro with him.
He brought all that in?
Yeah, let me show you. I heard you guys do gigs here. I'm like,
oh, you want to
really?
Play live for you?
I totally started rolling my eyes like, what's this dude? I'm like, do I smell booze? You know, like.
Is this guy on something?
He busts out the banjo and is like, killer. Like, destroyed. So we ended up like, it was so like an old school kind of vibe. Like, most of the time people do that, it's like not that good. The guy was killer. So we brought in him with his brother and they play there from time to time.
Well,
but
you
like,
know
he was destroying on all three instruments. You know,
the
like,
universe
totally,
works
like,
in mysterious ways.
I play music
ways.
Like a hobbit. I can't explain it, but like, it was just rad, you know.
Like Harry Potter style?
Yeah, like, yeah. But then like killing on the banjo, just, you know, it was rad. So you never know.
But you
never
know what? There's people that are off the grid that like, I'm not going to go, I'm not on Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to like send you my link or my MP3s. I'm going to come in and play.
Yeah. And it was awesome. It was so old school. But it was cool because he didn't know about any of that stuff. And I was at to talk to him because he was like getting back into playing out. And I was like, he's like, oh, could you show me about a Facebook account? I'll do that. So I helped him out do that. But yeah, it's just cool, you know? So you never know what's going to happen, but
right. We're
definitely trying to have
That's part of the excitement, though.
Yeah. We started playing there. I was like, you know, and I want it to be like, you know, because you're down with all the physical product and the old record stores and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The whole idea of doing an in-store, but I like doing in-stores within, like, the music store. We had this group, I've already mentioned them once, 100 Once, as they were on their tour with a bunch of other bands. We had bands from Bakersfield, up north come through.
That's great.
And it was great. It was a whole little scene. They all walked in, and my mom's like, she's so cute. She puts out, you know, all the little, like, she's got soda and drinks for the kids and, like, little munchies and
snacks and everything.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. So it's cool. It's old school.
Hey,
you know?
That's better hospitality than some of the bars
yes,
in town.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally, yes.
You know, because, you know, I mean, you and I have cut our teeth, and, you know what's out there.
You want me to pay how much to play? And that what?
I can't sound check
MGD?
Unless I breathe.
Really? And I'm supposed to sit out on the bus in the back? Maybe that's why your club closed.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever taken public transportation in La Crescenta?
What is that,
Foothill Transit?
Yes. I used to because my parents' store used to be in Glendale.
Okay.
So I would take the bus from La Crescenta or Rosemont to, that was my middle school, the bus there all the way down to Glendale.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, totally. Or the best part about it, though, is like I would ride the bike, my bike down to Glendale because it's quite a cool, like, ride.
Downhill.
I grew up the whole Bones Brigade area. I was like the one dude on the bike where everyone around me was skating, but I had almost like the Eddie Fiola dude. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm nowhere as good as him, but that's what I had. I had a pro world tour, Eddie Fiola, you know?
Nice.
Skyway, white, tough wheel twos.
Nice.
But we would all cruise down to, and it was like everyone was trying to be like the Bones Brigade video, and it's all downhill.
Rolling, so everyone's just rolling, right?
Yeah, from La Crescenta all the way to Glendale, it's totally all downhill. So, and there's just so many different routes to get down there. It's a pretty cool, you go all the way through, you know, you can cut down, you go through Montrose first, and then you end up going into like Glendale College area. You keep going, you know, so it's.
So So would you say that La Crescenta has a stigma for being like a rock city or metal city?
Action sports for sure. A lot of kids. That's what we all grew up on. You know, there was a Vans track there. I remember that was crazy. Like, used to be a Vans store on Verdugo, La Cañada Boulevard, actually.
Very cool.
Yeah, up in there by the freeway. There was a lot of always rad BMX stuff to ride. There used to be a skate park up there called the Boogie Bowl before I moved up there in the 70s. You know, it's totally like Hesher town. I mean, yeah. You know, growing up, you know. it's definitely different now, obviously, you know. A lot of different immigrant influx and stuff like that, but everyone gets along pretty well.
But it seemed like back in the day.
It's a very, very safe town, great place to raise your kids. Some people are like, who are we fooling, you know? There's a lot, but sometimes I think they had some recent drug problems recently, go figure, obviously.
PCP?
I think it was like, there was like a Korean extortion ring at the middle school and then a meth problem, you know, normal seventh grade stuff.
Normal seventh grade stuff.
Korean extortion
Maybe
ring.
Maybe someone from Hemet moved in.
Yeah, right.
And
oh, there's another, really quickly too, there's another band from La Crescenta I forgot to mention called The Briggs.
Okay.
And they, the reason why there's like a place called Briggs Sheriff or so, I don't know, but we were on Warped Tour with them. I want to give respects to everyone. That's
very cool.
Somebody from there. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Now, as far as some of your favorite places to eat in La Crescenta, Let's tell the people, where do you grub?
Wow. I got to give a shout out to my godfather, George DeMaio. He had an amazing place there called On the Boulevard that we had like my 21st birthday party at. It's no longer there, but just to give it, it was like the ultimate rad steakhouse, you know.
Oh,
and
wow.
So many memories we had growing up there as a kid, you know, like Mother's Day, Father's Day and stuff. La Crescenta, I'm thinking La Crescenta proper. I got to admit, my favorite place to eat is right off the border in Tujanga, is Tortas Mexico, which
All
is
right.
killer. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, awesome. Most people might know that area. It's right by the In-N-Out on Lowell. So if everyone
so
wants
Tujanga,
to go up there.
Right?
Yeah, Tujanga. Yeah, right. Lowell, Tujanga, Tortas
Mexico. It's like
Mexico.
A 24-hour joint?
No, not 24-hour, but amazing breakfast, mole, stuff like that. It's just killer. They're tortas, like, just not even the ahogada kind, but just the basic tortas are killer.
Okay.
Amazing food. Then there's another Mexican restaurant in Montrose called La Cabanita. That's uh-huh. awesome. Like bluefish sushi in Montrose Ooh. Is killer. I'm trying to think. I know I'm spacing out some. Oh, I got to really give it up. Yaki's. We grew up eating at this place. Yeah, this is probably the best La Crescenta thing ever. Yaki's.
Okay.
It's like Hawaiian Mexican food.
Oh, wow. It's like a hybrid.
Yeah. Here's what you got. It's like, here's the thing. The bulldog. It's a hot dog wrapped with like American cheese.
Okay.
With like some mustard in an egg roll. Right?
What?
And then they give you the sauce, which they call froggy sauce, which is this Thousand Island meets teriyaki. It's, yeah. It's amazing.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. They have the couch potato plate, which is just like fried wonton, fried bulldog, churro, like deep fried churro, French fries. But the cool thing about it is if you want to eat healthy, they have the brown rice. With the steamed vegetables and the chicken. Like, you can totally be like, you can worship Satan or Jesus, whatever, all whatever you want to go. Yeah, yeah. So I'll get a bulldog and then, like, brown rice with the chicken, you know?
So is Yaki's a regional chain or is it just one?
There's about, I think, four of them or so. The Jackass guys will totally know because their studios is right by one.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to, that's all I don't need that person to give out what their studios is. But anyways, yeah, it's, we group, there was two in La Crescenta, there still is. And one in Monrovia, and I think one in Burbank. So that would be four, yeah.
Very
amazing
cool.
food, though. That's the best potato salad I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
I'll tell you that, yeah. We got to go one time.
I'm sold.
Yeah, you'll
sold.
Love it, yeah.
I'll take the Foothill
they
Transit
do the one
there.
Where it's like you can get the chicken and the burger on the same patty with bacon. Okay. Like, it's just, yeah.
It's happening.
It's, yeah.
It's super happening.
It's rad.
Hey, so are there any good rehearsal studios around La Crescenta? Like lockouts, anything like that?
Not that I know of, you know. Not that I know of. It was a thing for kids. Always trying to find a place to practice and stuff up there and not making too much noise and everything.
Not making a racket in the garage.
Yeah, my parents were the best. They like converted. This is check this out. My parents went around to every neighbor and said, we support our son in music and everything. If the noise is too loud, can you please call us first before calling the police? Like the whole block.
Just good communication.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Just so that I could rock and play Slayer.
Okay, so let's talk about the involvement of Pedrini Music with the local schools and the band programs. So you guys offer
rentals, violins, cellos.
So that's all junior high and high school.
Yep, totally. And also private schools too.
Right.
We work with a lot of like Saro International School of Music, really cool Armenian school in Glendale. We do all the, I think a lot of the sheet music for them. All the like piano books that the kids are learning.
Right.
Also, you know, what we put a feeler out too, just to kind of get back into the community, reached out to the school. It's really difficult to kind of get back in. And, you know, it takes a lot. It's like I said before, it's my mom and dad, and they're old, but we put feelers out to all the different like local high schools and everything. Come on in. If you say, hey, I'm from this high school, I've never been here before, we'll give you a discount, that kind of thing.
Very
you know?
Cool.
Yeah, totally.
And are you guys giving the lessons with four brass instruments or woodwind instruments?
Yes, we do. I'm pretty sure if, correct me if I'm wrong, but we have full woodwind teacher, piano, bass, drums, guitar, voice. I think that's about it. I think we have a brass teacher as well. I'm not sure on that, but I get the 818-248-1290.
There you go.
Yeah. www.pedrini-music.com.
That works. So yeah. You brought some personal tunes from
your personal playlist
to play for us. And this is going to kind of give us an overview of what we've been talking to. Some musicians from La Crescenta.
Yes.
Right? Some of your stuff.
Yes, as well. The first one I'm going to play for you is, this is 200 Deuces. I think you'll like. They used to be a three-piece, but I thought this. They're now two-piece, so I thought you would really
respect
this.
I love that.
I think so. This is their new. This is
actually, I'm pissed off because we're the only two-piece.
Okay, there
kidding.
You're right.
I'm just kidding.
So not to be confused, the band is called 100 Onces,
very
and
cool.
This is their song 200 Deuces, and its members Richard Ray and Barrett Tutto Bueno. I think he's Italian. Yeah. So here you go.
Thank you. Let's listen.
Let's see. Is it playing? We'll be right back.
Now wouldn't be me if I ain't get a little nasty. They say all I talk about is sex.
How about we just move over and do it where we at? How about you just lift that skirt up? Ooh, we can be bad. That place that ain't been touched, I'm feeling on it. All that juicy fruit keeps spilling on it, girl. Bump up and take a nap. You just wanna bump up, bring it right back. Watch me, I'ma heat it up, beat it up. Know you're tired of the usual, usual, usual. I can give you more than the usual. Not your regular, tell you what. Let me touch you and feel something unusual. I wanna do freaky things you never do, do. What if we did it while your friends was in the room, room? Is that too much for ya? Don't you feel bad? Let them see your sex now. We can make a sex room wherever we go, go. Take it to the restroom, they ain't gotta know, no. Watch me heat it up, beat it up. Hey, do you hear me, girl? Restaurant, check. Cinema, check. On the hood, check. Of the car, countertop, check. Balcony, check. In the jet, check. Oh, on the beach,
this, that, other shit. You know you asked for it. I might just send you some money to get your passport. So you can come to my city, I take you all over. And hit you on the balcony, just don't fall over. Send me a picture, baby, you know I never leak it. I know you got something recent for someone decent. Why you laughing out loud? I'm serious. Bring it, girl, if you a little bi curious. Please, please, no storytelling to others. I promise you gon' love it. I would never let you down. Feel like I might have perfected all the things that you expect. And you gon' know it when you bring your ass
know
around.
You're more. Tired of the usual.
I thought I was nasty last time. Let go.
Hey! No. Ma, can I call you back?
Thank you.
Welcome back to Los Angeles, Nista. I'm your host, Edward Solis. My in-studio guest, Joe Mora, Pedrini Music, and the new bassist and frontman, vocalist of House of Broken Promises.
What's up? Doing stuff.
Doing cool shit.
Getting stuff done.
Yeah, do me a favor. Tell everyone how many pieces of pan dulce you've had from Mama's Cook
Bakery. It's so bad. I've third, three, tres. Ay, Dios mío.
Not trece.
Trece.
No, tres.
Yeah, no. Catorce? Catorce.
Yeah. Was it good?
Bono.
Was it good? Did you like it?
It was amazing. Yes.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Mama's Cook Bakery.
Oof.
Conchito.
Choncho.
There you go. Have you ever had choro?
Es gordo over here. I'm just killing it.
I love it.
Okay. I'm carving up.
Tell people what they just heard.
Okay, first we heard the band 100 Onces with their song 200 Deuces. Then we heard my new band, Small Stone recording artist House of Broken Promises with Blister.
Yeah.
That was Eddie singing, though. We haven't recorded anything yet, so the original singer. And then one of my favorite bands from Tujunga, like call them pretty much old school Tujunga Heshers called Collision with Slowly Burning. And then I played my boss, you know, to keep it real, Trey Songs with Unusual featuring Drag. Woo-hoo. And then one of my favorite artists, Snorlax, we had a double shot.
Double shot like KNAC.
Yeah, keep it real. Snorlax, double shot with, first one was Phone Call. And then the second one that was the Nintendo. Yeah, Nintendo 50s ballad. Was Puppy Love. And then I just got off tour with You Need Us. We played some Black Woman. So there you go.
Very good,
doing stuff.
So I wanted to kind of go to the geography of the, you know, La Crescenta area.
Yes,
and keep informing people about the actual things to see and things to take in around there. As far as the actual history goes, going way back when, I mean, you grew up around that area, you know, not your whole life, but you did.
Yes, moved there in 86.
Right. And, you know, we always try to send a message off to everyone to go car free and keep things very green. You know, is it hard, would you say, to be car free in La Crescenta?
You know what? Totally, because you need a grappling hook to walk up to darn hill. I mean, it's really steep there. So if you're a kid just growing up as a kid riding a bicycle, it's like if your friends lived south, it was cool because it was like an awesome like ride down south. And it's pretty steep, so there's all these curbs to jump off of and everything on your bike or whatever. But it was always like, Mom, can you come pick me up? You know, throw the bike in the truck or whatever, because it was really very, very steep around there.
And being a kid in that area and now dealing with the story you're involved in, Pedrini's, do you think as time goes on and technology advances, do you think the kids change or is it just the kids are the same, man? You know, what do you think?
You know, I don't know. I remember some of my students when I started teaching and like, you know, I had eighth graders coming in like full on New York Dolls t-shirts, really like hip to what was hip. I mean, and I wasn't that cool at all. I didn't know who the New York Dolls were in seventh grade. And I'm my age, you know, I'm a closer to that generation than this kid is. Some kids didn't know at all. When it comes to like music and respecting old school and like new school stuff, like one of the best ones I had, and this is around like 2003 or so, this kid, he was really into Rancid and Sum 41, stuff like that. All of a sudden, Jack White comes out, and he wants to learn how to play slide guitar and the blues.
Okay.
And at first, when I heard Jack White, I was like, oh, I'll just, okay, it's just whatever, this or that. You know, I wasn't too impressed or everything. But my whole trip changed because it's like, this kid wants to learn how to play the blues because of this guy. And I've always been a purveyor.
A purist.
Yeah, keep that old school vibe going. Sure. So if it works for people like him doing it, whatever. And next thing you know, I saw footage of this kid's like playing like slide guitar, like, not a woman blues. And it was kind of cool. And, you know, he still had like a punk aesthetic. But, you know, at the same time with those kids too, I've always tried to be not like the bitter punk rock guy where they're like, I like Sum 41 and they want to learn. I'm like, why would you learn that? That sucks. Black Flag, bro.
Yeah.
You know, and like, killing, just like turn them off instantly. I teach it to them and then I'll be like, hey, why don't you check this out? And then as soon as
show them where it comes from.
Yeah. As soon as they hear that, they're like, oh, this stuff sucks. And they totally are into like Black Flag and everything, you know?
Right, right.
So,
well, on that topic, Black Flag or Flag? That's, where are you at?
Oh, you know, I got to go with Black Flag because I'm an off fan. So I already got my rocks off with that kind of Keith Morris retro kind of let's...
Right.
Because it sounds awesome, amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And kudos to them for...
And their whole aesthetic even.
For bringing back those components that Black Flag had and re-pushing it and processing it into a very relevant presentation.
Yes. the riffs are incredible too, but even the recordings, how it sounds, and doesn't correct me if I'm wrong, Pettibone do a lot of the artwork
stuff. He does.
And it's
which is Greg's brother.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy Doyle.
Right. Doyle and Jerry, it's the same thing, right?
Punk rock politics.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's all great, though. So yeah, when I heard that, I was kind of like, oh, you know.
Is it Greg's guitar playing? You just want to see him play live?
Yeah. I mean, those riffs are amazing.
Yeah, they still are.
But I do like.
A lot of people can't figure that shit out still.
Yeah. Well, what you're saying earlier is that one lineup, though. I like the lineup, like, at the end, though, too, when, like, Greg had long hair and the Kira was playing bass. Well, and
that's, to me, that's the most explosive.
And yeah, with Henry singing.
It's very Sabbathy. Cool. There's only one guitar, one bass. So when it's just, you know, when he breaks into a solo, you just hear bass and drums.
And it's dirgy, I love that. Too, kind of, some of that stuff.
Yeah, they're playing through solid-state stacks, he's got the Armstrong, and she's playing the Rickenbacker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and when you really pay attention, close attention to the entire sets they played in those eras, and you see the dynamic between Greg and Kira, and hear the feedback that's happening, that's like, it's very coherent. It's not just madness.
Yeah, yeah.
I really do think that Sonic Youth took a lot of their ideas. Mm-hmm. You know, Kim Gordon and Thurston, Kira and Ginn, I think, and then, you know, the feedback thing. I just think Sonic Youth definitely
came from
that.
I've never even thought about that way, but it's so true.
It really is. Yeah. And I really, you know, in February, I actually had the pleasure to go to Austin or Taylor and jam with Greg.
Oh, wow.
I was out there playing bass for him, and it was a great experience. And I've never played with anybody who had so much ferocity through his feedback art, and just see him really throw it down, like in that old school, you know, way.
Yeah, yeah.
And really just like, you know, yeah. I mean,
because I heard those arms. I've never played one, but I heard they're definitely like, it's a certain sound.
Well, he
like
doesn't use those anymore.
Okay.
But I mean, when you watch the footage on YouTube, you know, it's just, it's great. It's great.
Yeah.
And, you know, but from present day, talking 2 months ago, it's just really, really, you know, just mind-boggling. Especially, you know, when you hear the Ginn solo, people think it's just craziness, but it's actually coherent. It's written that way.
What is the lineup for this, the new Black Flag?
Oh, well, it's Greg Ginn on guitar.
Yeah.
Ron Reyes Chavo.
Okay.
Jealous Again era singer.
Okay. Well, that's rad.
Yeah.
Okay.
The drummer is a guy named Gregory Moore, who's been playing with Greg since the early 90s for Greg on all his solo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the bassist, I don't know who it is.
Okay.
But that's pretty much the deal.
That's rad.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think you know, for me, if I have to pick, it's Black Flag.
Yes.
You know,
I totally agree. Yeah. That's why, I mean, it's easy though, because it'd be different if there was no off though. If there was no off, I think it'd be...
Yeah.
You know, it'd be definitely...
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I think Flag is a great lineup. I mean, that's giving people what they want, but I do know that, you know, Greg is progressive. He's like...
Now, is he doing, like, new music, too, with this? Yeah. Oh, well, that's way cooler.
Than yeah, he's bringing the band back. Like, so his intent is not to come back and create a nostalgia show, like Hall & Oates or something.
Yes, yes.
You know?
I love me some Hall & Oates, so...
Do you got any?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I can't go for that. No can do. I can go for being twice as nice.
and there's always, you know, well, now that we're on that topic, when they say the line twice as nice,
yeah.
I like how they both come in together.
Yeah, yeah.
You weren't expecting that. You weren't expecting that. That's awesome. No, but anyhow, for that, I mean, for the Flag lineup, I mean, yeah, if there was no off, I would say it would be definitely...
A little bit harder to choose. Yeah,
they're going to give people what they want, though.
Yeah,
that is. I want to see them. They're going to give people what they want. All the hits. Greg is like, look, I'm going to play the catalog, but I'm also going to play a lot of new stuff.
That's cool.
And we're going to jam.
Yeah, I haven't been to the Vex yet either.
Right.
So that should be
same
cool.
Here. The room's, when is it big. Again? Sunday, July 14th, 2013.
Okay, I should be there.
Yeah, and it holds 1,500 people.
Nice,
a big room.
Yeah, I know Jimmy James. They just played it the other night. Barrio Tiger.
I believe so.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
I believe so. So back on course here.
Okay.
Okay, so we're talking about the geography of La Crescenta.
Yes.
Is it easy to go car-free? No, it's not, because the hills.
Yeah, much hill. It's in the valley.
It's like Batman and Robin, right? Where you throw the line down on the building.
Totally, like that. Just to give people an idea where it is, or Angelinos at least, if you know the 2 freeway, if you drive up the 2 freeway, say where the 2 and the 134 cross, there's that In-N-Out there, and there's the Eagle Rock Mall. So you keep heading north on the 2. And that will take you pretty much to the crossroads if you go right, and actually where it exits. If you just go right off the freeway, actually, you'll be in La Cañada. And if you go right, you'll be in La Cañada, but that will eventually take you to Pasadena. If you exit left off the 2, where the 2 ends, you'll start heading into La Crescenta. Or you could take the 210 west, and that will take you to various, you know, exits off La Crescenta, whatnot, all the way into Tujunga, out to Lakeview Terrace.
Now, were there ever any great record stores in that area?
Yes, there was one, and I think it's called Albatross Records. We used to go there as a little kid, and there was another one, too, and I can't forget it. It was the coolest one, actually. It was something. I forgot. Everyone's going to probably yell at me for it. But it was rad. I got, like, the cassette for Injustice for All there. You know, that place.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was, yeah,
they awesome. Had the metal.
Like, they had the heavy metal patches and everything you wanted. Yeah.
So was it, are these places
totally
still there?
Independent. No, not at all. Uh-uh. Yeah.
Now, what about the skate shops and bike shops in the area?
Billy's Surf and Top, what's it called? Billy's Board Shop. But it's just, we always refer to it as Billy's. Really awesome place. Sometimes they have like DJs in there where dudes playing guitar and stuff like that. But really awesome. Billy's Board Shop. That's, we always used to go there. So that was pretty rocking. They used to have skate demos back in the day. Jeff Grosso.
Oh, really? You
know, yeah.
Really?
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was an Arcadia guy.
I think, yeah. So probably wasn't that big of a deal. Yeah.
Right.
Over.
Did you ever see Eric Nash out there? Because he was an Arcadia guy also.
We spawned Jeremy Ray.
Yeah.
He's from La Crescenta Montrose.
Sure.
I think so. So that's another, we got some pro skaters too, you know, throwing down.
Very cool. Now, being from that area and then venturing off to Hollywood for the first time, was it so fast-paced you were kind of shocked?
It was crazy. I went down there as soon as I was able to drive. I was 16. So, but this is the end of the Sunset Strip era because I'm 39 now. So I was like 91, like, yeah, 16.
So Nevermind just dropped.
Nevermind just dropped, but it's still kind of Sunset
right.
Strip, you know, Ricky Rackman's board. But the cool thing, what was happening
Cat
was
House.
Like, yeah, but now it turned into Ricky Rackman's Bordello, and you'd go there and they play like Motley Crue, PC or Action into I Could Just Kill a Man, Cypress Hill. And that was the new
format.
Yeah, it was interesting. And it'll be like, you know, Shame on a Nigga, Wu-Tang Clan, into like Cotton Amash, Anthrax.
Yeah.
So that was the cool, like, kind of Cape Club to go there, I remember. But ever, you know, it's like everyone was cutting their hair, you know, it was changing, you know. So it was really interesting going there as a kid. But a lot of my friends from La Crescenta were just, they wouldn't drive that far. It's an isolated area, too, because there's the mountain which separates Glendale and Burbank, right, that big mountain is what separates La Crescenta from that, too.
Right.
So La Crescenta is, in a sense, kind of like in a valley. It's the last valley.
It's in a basin. Yeah.
Yes. Before the, like I said, before Mojave and Angeles Crest Forest.
Right. Are there any other institutions in La Crescenta, like food places or anything?
Well, Grayson's, you know, Toontown, I've got to get props to for another great music store. That's in Montrose. And they're the main.
And that's like, the sister city, right? Right.
Yes,
right,
exactly.
Door.
Yeah. And they're like, we have Gibson, Fender, Rickenbacker. They're like the main guitar store. You know,
okay.
So they don't do any of the consignment stuff like we do. So, you know, I got to give props to, I kind of took the aesthetic of future music. I think that they're in Highland Park and I think they're awesome. They've always been cool with really rad vintage gear. And so I just kind of was borrowing from their aesthetic of like, oh, all this rad stuff. You walk in there, it's kind of museum-y too.
Okay.
And I wanted to kind of have that. Like, the coolest thing we got on that same museum trip really quickly is one of the other Pedrini Musics in Anaheim, my aunt's store, Catella, was closing down. She had merchandise in there. Like, we got this brand new, like, organ. It's, like, brand new from 1972.
Wow.
So, like, you know, it's something Beck would use or whatever. Like, sure. These crazy space organs and stuff. So, a lot of stuff like that. I don't know if you remember Black Market Music on La Cienega.
Yep.
Kind of that vibe as well. Trying to have some stuff, but, you know... try to keep it in working order and everything, but we kind of had a gold mine with her. A lot of brand new merchandise from, like, we got an Ibanez from 1987. It had never been opened since the factory from Japan.
Oh, the Japanese ones.
Yeah,
which
they're
few and far between.
Yeah,
now.
Totally. We have a lot of the Boss Japanese pedals too, because now all those Boss pedals are Taiwanese made.
Sure.
So, you know, it was crazy though. A lot of inventory from her for our store.
Very so cool. So, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that kind of made it museum-y. And
yes, totally.
Very, it wasn't an eyesore. It's probably easy on the eyes.
Yeah.
You know?
And I also wanted to be like, you know, I'm still trying to look. We had a lot more, but I also want to be one of those places. It's hard to find really cool vintage keyboards. You can always find vintage guitars, but like, where's like the cool, like, you know, like clavinet?
Yeah.
Or like a, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's all about filling a void.
A Wurlitzer and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah.
It's all about filling a void, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And have you guys ever thought about getting, not specifically, but really going deep into lefties?
That's a good little thing. You know, has there ever been a store? It's like, we're the left-handed guitar store.
The left-handed path.
If you can't help me, help yourself. You better make a left. Coolio. Left-handed path. Entombed shops here.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be cool, though.
You know, I mean, just...
You know, the funny thing is, you want my guitar teacher was like, right when I first started, I was like 7th grade. He's like, well... He's like, is it difficult for you to play either way? I'm like, no, not really. He's like, well, do you collect things? I'm like, what the heck's that mean? And he's like, well, I don't know. Like, you know, I was 12. He's like, you know, like baseball cards, comic books. So I'm like, well, yeah, like, of course, duh. I got, you know, he's like, I got tons of action figures and everything. And right. So he's like, well, would you ever collect guitars? And you're like, well, yeah, of course. He's like, would you like to have a lot? I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, well, go to Guitar Center and tell me how many left-handed guitars you see.
Ah,
you know, it was like, okay, I'm going to learn how to play right. You just have more options.
Sure.
You know, so it was like, but it didn't, I never like, you know, it did feel more natural to play right as well.
That makes sense.
Which is that we do. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? Totally. Some people say the left-handed guitar is a gimmick too, which I don't
really,
I don't have a stance on that. Yeah. Because, you know, like Arthur's left-handed as well from House of Broken Unita.
Right. But so he's actually lefty.
Yeah, we both are. Yeah. We play righty.
I'm righty, but play lefty.
Oh, we'll see. Maybe it is a gimmick.
Ah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, in the end, it's whatever feels natural. That's the only thing.
Sure. Now, let's talk about all this world travel and the experiences that we spoke about in, you know, Africa and dealing with different, these entities, these huge bands you've been out with. When you come back on the ground and in your Apadrini's day to day, are you inspired from doing what you love around the world and then actually in a place where you could actually teach people maybe how to become a tech or maybe have a student that's, you know, really latched on to you? I mean, do you feel that you could really show people a way out of La Crescenta?
To a certain extent, yeah. I guess. I'm trying to think. Well, I have like, say, a couple of people ask me like, hey, how do you get into tech and business and stuff like that? And, or the main thing is if I see anything or people, bands doing it, I try to give any advice I can, whether if it's this or that, if they ask for it. I mean, I'm not much like, no, you should do this or whatever like that. But, it was funny. Like one of the bass player from 100 Onces was, I think they put it, or at first they were like, we're thinking about getting a singer. What should we do? And they're a really right instrumental band. I'm like, try one out on one track and see how it works first. So I just gave some basic advice, and which I didn't think was that much, but they're very much like, well, we never thought of it like that. Thank you. This, we appreciate you looking out for us. You know, so you're like, well, that's kind of cool. You know, I got to say though, the one I'm most stoked for is probably Cody Farwell. It was nice to teach him. I feel more stoked to teach him and be a part of him because I know he's going to probably do something really big, the Snorlax guy.
Right.
Because he's just booming. It's crazy what the stuff he's getting involved in. I mean, he's playing, I think, at the Echoplex tonight.
Okay.
So he's doing really good. So I'm kind of more like, I feel it's not like that, hey, I taught him, but more I got the chance to teach him.
Sure.
You know, and kind of help him along the way.
Right.
You know, so I would totally be stoked if, definitely, no one's really been super successful. He's probably the most, I would say. But I would definitely be like, oh, that's rad.
For sure.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice to see.
Now,
I mean, even when he got the Addicts gig, it was like, cool, you know?
Absolutely. Now, yeah. You have a background, you know, of cooking a lot.
Yes, love to cook.
And do you think you would ever venture off into that industry and maybe do something?
My ex-girlfriend and I, we did that, and it was like, it reminded me when I was in high school and I wanted to play football.
Why is
you know,
that?
Well,
why is that?
It was like, oh, I love to cook. This should be fun. I love to play football. It should be fun. All of a sudden, someone's just yelling at you, and you're just getting beaten down. And all you want to do is make a taco or pass the football.
Yeah.
You know, it's all of a sudden, I'm like dummy offense, just getting smashed. And like, you're worthless, Mora. Yeah. It's like, I thought,
you're like, all you want to do is play football.
Yeah, and I get yelled at by some middle-aged man. It was, you know, or something. So then the cooking thing was the same thing. It was like such like, you know, we were doing farmers markets in El Sereno, and right. It was fun, but it was like, I wake up at 7 in the morning, get the dry ice.
What would you make?
We made cochinito pibil tacos,
uh-huh.
And then we made like these quesadillas, but they would like with queso fresco and then blue corn. But then we would put like pebre on it, like this Chilean green salsa. And then we did this, she would like barbecue a Twinkie, which was the best.
Well,
yeah.
Wait, how do you do that?
This is Red 67 I'm giving props to anyways right now. So you know, these are mostly her recipes, not mine. So
right.
And her name is Liz Gonzalez. We were barbecuing one time and she's like, she put some foil down, just put the Twinkie on top of it to get the grill marks and then like piled ice cream. And I don't like Twinkies, but it like really like kind of got all crispy and everything because the deep fried ones are sick and gross.
Right.
Because it's just like soggy oil.
Was it wrapped in a foil?
No, put foil on the grill and then just put the Twinkie on.
Okay.
Right. And then just barbecued it for like 4 or 5 minutes till it got the grill marks. And yeah, ice cream, bananas. You know,
I have a question.
Obesity.
I have a question for the people in the sound room that appeared to be in a mode where they could use some munchies. Now, can you see yourself eating a barbecue Twinkie?
Definitely.
What would your sauce be? Are there any sauces?
Well, we were getting kind of Mexican.
What's that?
Put some fucking tapatio on there.
Yeah.
How about some sriracha?
We were doing like crema, like the you know, and then we were trying to do like a mole kind of spicy chocolate too on top of it.
Nice.
Yeah, we were getting nuts.
So you were actually doing this at Farmer's Market.
Yeah, yeah.
We had posting that was up. Third,
yeah, but then we had, yeah, it was, yeah. It was, it's a lot of work, man. It was a lot of work. And then you got to get your food license. Then you want to talk about, like, let's talk about Los Angeles.
So it's all the paperwork,
food
right?
Food preparation.
Now, okay.
A lot of, like, food handling classes.
How much red tape had?
It was a lot of red tape.
So you had to take a lot of classes to do this?
Yeah, she had to go to, like, a food handling class and, you know, like, you got to really think when you cook at home for yourself, how many really laws you are breaking. You don't even think about, you know, like it's not like the temperature of the meat has to be perfect or they can just boom instantly. And the inspectors will show up and you're not even trying like to be dirty. You're really trying to be clean still. But if you're just not used to that aesthetic or the protocol of really following the rules and perfect, you know, it's a bit much.
Wow.
You know, all this stuff had to be cooked on site. That, and if you didn't, then it had to be cooked in a actual kitchen that was professional. You couldn't cook anything at home and bring it. You know, I'm like,
right.
You know, whatever.
No, I mean, it just seems like I know you were very involved.
Yeah, it was a bit much.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that because, you know, from my experiences and what I've seen online, you were cooking a lot of great stuff.
We were too, and, you know, sometimes it was really depressing because we were cooking Mexican food and we were serving it in East LA, and the only thing kind of bummed me out sometimes is like, because it wasn't East LA Mexican food. Like, we had blue corn tortillas, and everyone thought they were like food color. And it's like, you know, it's like, it's no, it's blue corn. And like, we made the quesadillas with like queso fresco. And a lot of people were like, it's not Monterey Jack.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, it's like, no, this, we're trying to really bring you like really legit, you know.
It's not Jalisco cheese.
Yeah. You know, so it was interesting. And then people too, they would just walk up a lot of times, be like, I want a carne asada burrito. Like that, we don't even serve carne asada, you know.
Well,
so it's just weird.
Yeah.
They think, yeah, it's a lot of time. So it was interesting at first, but then a lot of people, like, you know, then you'd have some people that were from, say, because one of the dishes was cochinita pibil, which is from the Yucatan.
Sure.
And so those, you know, the Mexican people that were from there in the community were like, oh my God, you're making this here, and it was really cool.
Well, so when are you going to start the Joe Mora food blog, man?
Oh, I know.
Come on.
I should. We were just at in Germany, and I was killing schnitzel and sausage. We got nuts with it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not really, I don't think anyone's going to get tired of Mexican food out here.
No. You know what's interesting, though? I try to eat Mexican food when I'm abroad, even as bad as it is, just because I need that flavor.
Sure.
And some of the stuff, what is considered Mexican
food.
And
it's not anywhere close.
It's hysterical. Yeah. It's really.
It's hysterical.
You know, but like, I'll give props to Australia. Poppin' for Mexican food.
Really?
Like Al Pastor with the pineapple. And they're like, oh, would you like some mutlacoche? And I'm like, are you serious in Australia?
Well, don't you think it's because the Australian culture is very linear to SoCal culture, like the surfing, skateboarding?
You're so right. But when I first went there, I've only been to a couple restaurants. And that was exactly what I thought. And it was off. like some of the things they were making was kind of weird. Like they're making salsa with bell peppers and stuff like that. And it tastes good, but it's just different. But then my friend finally took me to a spot which was like, okay, they got it down here. You know, Negro Modelo and everything.
All right.
You know, so it was like, but yeah, I thought that. And but it's not as much as you think. You're on the beaches a lot. And there's beautiful beaches, but you're like, where's the dude with the taco stand just killing it right now? Yeah. He's not there. Yeah.
Right, right.
You know?
So, I mean, what about, for me, it just seems like, you know, La Crescenta proper doesn't have that Mexican spot. It's in Tujunga.
Yes, yes. So, the funny thing is that restaurant, it was originally in La Crescenta. Let me take that back.
Oh, okay.
It did, but it didn't move to a larger location. So it was, and it was actually next to the place I told you on the boulevard.
Okay.
Yes, yes. And then even to give La Cañada props, which is next door, they have a pizza place called Georgie's Pizza, which has been there for years. It's your typical rad pitcher of beer pizza place. So I got to give that props
good
as
stuff.
Well for food.
Totally
yeah.
old
awesome.
School.
Yeah, totally.
That's good. Mm-hmm. How much Van Halenism is attached to La Crescenta?
Yeah, obviously, we can't compete with Pasadena, but...
Well, that's their hometown.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's all like... surrounding cities.
Definitely.
I've seen flyers that say like at La Crescenta.
I think, yeah, I know there's definitely a recordings at La Cañada High. I've seen right. bootlegs of that.
Isn't there a Van Halen Museum in Altadena?
I'm not sure.
That's what I heard.
Not sure. I actually had a reel-to-reel. One of somebody I used to go to high school with, dad's, I think somebody managed Van Halen. So I remember at one point my parents were so old school, they had the reel-to-reels.
Right.
So they gave me a reel-to-reel of like this old Van, like vintage Van Halen that wasn't released. Which just came out on their new record, actually, called She's the Woman. It was
okay.
like that. It was like one I guess you could find, like one of those bootleg days.
Right. Well, it was in circulation.
So that's, I guess, the closest I think La Crescenta's to Van Halen. Someone who lived in La Crescenta's dad managed him at one point. So
very cool.
I actually have an answer, a response for that.
That's yeah. good. Well, any last, we got 30 seconds, anything you want to put on the table for and plug your store, Padrini's?
Yes.
Anything you want to say?
Definitely, if you have any instruments, whatnot, you want to sell on consignment, or if you're looking for some cool vintage stuff, we have a pretty good supply of merchandise. You know, it fluctuates up and down, so we've been selling a lot of stuff.
Right.
But it's Padrini Music in La Crescenta, 818-248-1290.
Website?
And the website is www.padrini-music.com. And find us on Facebook, like us, Padrini Music in La Crescenta. Also, my band is House of Broken Promises. And we are on Small Stone Records, and we're going to be making our new record coming out soon. I'm trying to think what's... Oh, yeah, I just want to give props once again to Snorlax, 100 Onces as well, my new favorite bands. The other band I played was Collision as well.
That's great. And, Collision was awesome.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah, yeah.
Good stuff, man. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. Great times.
Take care, Joe.
Do stuff late.
Too cool shit.